Psalms 22, if you'll remember, is a prophetical chapter, and that dealing with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to read it again and then give you what the Lord's give us. In verse 1, the Bible said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despise of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me under the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. You can be seated tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight thanking you again and that for just a wonderful time and that to come to your house this evening. Thank you for these dear folk that have come. I pray, Lord, that they've received a blessing already from the singing tonight, but it's preaching time, and we certainly need you to come by. Lord, we can't do anything without you tonight. It's going to take you to get this work done. We're going to try our best to do what we know to do tonight in trusting you and following you, but if the work don't get done, Lord, I pray tonight that you would just work on folks' hearts. And Lord, I pray tonight that you just reveal this passage of Scripture, this message to folk, Lord, that it might be a help to them, that it would encourage them in their prayer life, that it would encourage them to keep on trusting you and looking to heaven and that for their help tonight. God, we certainly just need you more than anything. Lord, more than what this world could ever provide, more than what we could ever muster up of ourselves. Lord, we just need you tonight, and I pray that you'd come by and stir hearts. Lord, I ask for help, and Lord, that's all I know to ask for, and I do pray that you'd move upon hearts. Face somebody here tonight that may not feel well, I pray you might touch them and help them. Meet with us now and save that sinner's nearest town. Save the one that might be in this house tonight that's lost, that don't know you, and pray they'd come to know you as their Savior. Help us now for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look in Psalms chapter 22, if you remember last week, for y'all that were here, if you wasn't, we seen how that this was a prophetical chapter and that dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ, how he'd had the desertion of his Father there in verse 1. And we know that he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we've seen the despising of the men and the derision that Christ was in at Calvary. Do you realize he said here at one time, he said in verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Let me say tonight that Christ went to Calvary by himself. Listen, he died by himself. He performed that work by himself. And thank God for that tonight. Hey, I'm glad he went to Calvary, friend. Everybody had forsook him. Everybody had left him. And all that stood there was a band of women, a little band of women down there, and one disciple by the name of John. And that was at Calvary. But Christ himself bore our sins at Calvary. And that alone, when he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No doubt he fell alone and by himself because he was. But ain't you glad, friend, that when God looked down from heaven and seen what Christ had done and that for all mankind, he was satisfied. He was happy in that for what Christ had done for me and you tonight. Amen. And boy, I'm thankful for what the Lord done. Verse 13 says that they gaped upon him with their mouths. I can imagine as they come by and they bit upon him, not only physically but figuratively. Friend, as they spoke against him and mocked him and derided him, in verse 16 said they pierced his hands and his feet, and we've seen that, and how they parted his garments in verse 18. But listen, he said in verse 2, the psalmist did right here, he said, "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not." And so we begin to look at the thought of when it seems your prayer life goes nowhere. Have you ever been there before, friend? Listen, I used to not like to admit things like that. I'll be honest with you. I was bound and determined to be super spiritual whether I was or not. I was bound and determined to have people believe that I was super spiritual. But the longer that I live and the more that I understand some things, I have come to just figure out, just be honest with yourself and be honest with the Lord. Amen. And there are times when it seems like my prayer life is going nowhere. Now, we looked about how that we need to pray. I mean, he said pray without ceasing. He said that men always ought to pray and not to faint. He said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We talked about how we had to learn to pray, to get in our closet and shut the door. How that we needed to spend time and act with God. How that Christ would go up into the mountain alone to pray and to commune with God. We studied on that and seen that. But then we begin to look at why our prayer life goes nowhere. And we talked about how that we have no faith and our prayer life will go nowhere. If you have no faith, for in the book of James said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now he's talking about wisdom right there, but he said, don't let him think that he would receive anything of the Lord without faith. We must pray when we come to the Lord. What is it? Hebrews 11 and 6. But he that, what is it? He can you remember now? But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I ask you tonight, do you believe that God can? Do you believe God can? You say, well, that's simple to ask tonight. Preacher, well, of course we believe that God can until we get in a position where we don't believe that God can. You ever been there where we say, I just don't see how God can work this out? And we're going to work on that. We're going to preach on that a little more here in a little bit. But when our prayer life is going nowhere, we need to ask the question, was we praying in faith? And then number two, we looked about sin, how that sin gets into our life. And listen, that cuts us off from the Lord. Bible said in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalms chapter 19, David said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. I believe there's some things that we like to keep secret of ourselves. There may be some sin that we don't want nobody else to know about. And it's just ours, and it's hid away and locked away in a place in our life that only us and God knows about. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to hinder your prayer life tonight. But there may be a sin of ignorance also. You know, you do realize there is a sin of ignorance. Sometimes we just do some things and we just didn't know better. Have you ever done something? Let me put it to you like this. Has your kids ever done something that was wrong, but they didn't know better? Why are you looking at Gunner right there, Miss Jennifer? I mean, boy, she was just a-glaring at him. Listen tonight. That may not have been what it was. I don't know. He may have been popping his bubble gum. I don't know. But listen tonight. Listen, have you ever, young has just done something, and you say, I've never told them not to do that, and here they've got in trouble. Now, the Lord has told us, and it's our responsibility to read that book, but there is a sin of ignorance. The Bible talks about that over in the law, if I'm not mistaken. And there are some things that, friends, that, listen, there may be some things that we're doing that we just don't know better to do sometimes. And when he said, Lord, if there's something in there that I need to get out of my life that's not pleasing to you, Lord, would you just show it to me? Amen. And I believe he'll show it to you tonight. I honestly believe that. But listen, we talked about the prodigal, how the prodigal had to come back home and he had to make some things right with his father, you see. And so we talked about sin, how that it hinders our prayer life. But when our prayer life don't seem to be going anywhere. Number three tonight, take your Bible and look in 1 John. Look in 1 John chapter 5. And here's where we'll start at tonight. 1 John chapter 5. So we've talked about not praying in faith. And the first three are all negative, by the way. And then we've talked about sin. And then in 1 John chapter 5, we might be praying out of his will. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, he said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Now let me say right here, I'm thankful and grateful for that scripture. He said that you can know that you have eternal life. You know, a lot of people says, "Well, you ain't going to know until you get there." No, that ain't what scripture says. He says that you may know that you have eternal life. I don't know any other way to interpret that, read that, understand that tonight, except it has the word K-N-O-W in it. And that's something that we can understand and know tonight and have assurance on in our life. And so you can know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now watch what he says in verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know," by that word he is again, "that he hear us, whatsoever we asked, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." But what was the very first thing that we had to do to get him to hear us? Well, it was to what? Pray, how? In according to his will. Now, I believe that we can pray in his will and we can pray out of his will. I believe there are some things that you can ask that the Lord just simply just ain't going to hear about. But let me put it to you like, you know, there's some things you don't have to pray about. You know, the Bible's been clear about some things. Bible's clear. "Lord, do I need to be separated from the world?" Well, that's a crazy prayer, ain't it, tonight? Well, of course you're to be separated from the world. I don't really think that's what this is referring to right here. But it is when he's talking about that we have confidence in him if we ask according to his will. So if we know what the scripture says, first of all, we can know what his will is. He says, is it in the book of Ephesians over there, "Be not unwise," but he said, "but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And so I believe that we can pray either in his will or out of his will tonight. I believe that you can get down and you can begin to talk to the Lord about some things that really that you know better than and that I know better than. But listen, we keep on praying and it's outside of his will. Let me give you an example tonight. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Maybe I can clear it up this way tonight. I feel like I'm digging a hole. I ain't getting nowhere here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me give you an example. Talking about praying inside and out of his will, I guess, tonight. Now, here we have the Apostle Paul and that being buffeted and that by the messenger of Satan. And he said in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12, he said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there is given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul said, I talked to the Lord three different times about that, and he finally answered me and said, "Paul, this is how it's going to be." Sometimes, and I'm going to get into the next point if I ain't careful, but sometimes we just, that's how I can put this right here. Sometimes we're just going to have to trust God in what he's doing. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you know his will, and sometimes you don't know his will. And when you don't know his will, you got to say, "Lord, I need you to open some things up here and show me some things." Now, it's kind of like this. I told you all this story here a while back. I said, I looked about buying a sawmill. I thought about running a sawmill. That sounded like a great thing to me. I know there's a lot of work involved in that thing and a lot of ways to go. But, you know, when I finally got my answer, and about the time that I prayed and asked the Lord, "Can I buy one?" About the time I spit them words out of my heart, he already answered me back. And now, if I kept on praying about that thing, I believe that would have been out of the Lord's will right there. You understand what I'm saying? He was gracious enough and kind enough to answer me one time, but then I believe if I'd kept on and kept on knowing what his will was, I don't believe he was going to hear me. I don't believe he's going to answer me anymore. He doesn't give me his answer. You know, sometimes God's already give you your answer. You just got to trust what he give you. Listen, when we get outside of his will, God's got a will for your life. And it's like a preacher friend of mine. He was struggling. And he was praying for the Lord to let him leave his church. He was struggling, man. He was having a hard time. He was. And me and Kelly ran into him here a while back out at the eating place, out at the fish place here in town. And I sat over in the booth with him when we got done eating and talked to him for a long time. And he said, you know, Brother Mark, he said, the Lord just would not let me leave. He said, I wanted to leave, but he said, the Lord would just not let me leave. And you know, he said, I was asking the Lord to let me leave. But you know, that wasn't in God's will, you see. And I think sometimes we, not by happenstance, but by our own will, sometimes we want to do some things. But he said right here in Little John, he tells us this, and he said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, we got to ask by his will. We know that we have petitions desired of him. And so if he hears us and it's in his will, I believe he'll answer that thing tonight. I do. So we need to pray inside God's will, inside the scripture. What the Bible says is right. What the Bible says is true. What he has showed us, I believe we need to pray. But let me look at this here tonight. Number four. Can I tell you that sometimes God wants us to wait. Sometimes God simply wants us to wait. You say, well, that's cruel of the Lord tonight. No, sometimes he wants you to wait. And sometimes let me ask you something tonight. If you got an answer, how would your prayer life be if you got an answer every time you went and prayed? Let me ask you this. Do you get an answer every time you pray? I mean, I'm just going to see if you're more spiritual than I am here tonight. Because I don't get an answer every time I pray. I've had to pray and pray and pray and pray. And sometimes God wants us to wait. Sometimes God's got to send a waiting period. Let me say this tonight. I think is that sometimes it comes down to this, that he wants to see how serious we are. He wants us to see how serious we are. You know, what's that old saying I like to say, that we'll give a 10-cent prayer and want a $1 million answer? You know, we'll pray one time and get alone and pray one time and expect the glory to fall. You have to be kind of like me on Saturday night, getting in my study and weeping and crying and begging God, oh, just come by on Sunday morning and meet with us in the morning, God, just come by. And I might be sincere in my heart and want God to come by, but what have I done the rest of the week in my praying? You see what I'm saying? You follow me? I would be sincere when I got in my study. I would be sincere when I gathered up around the altar, and I'd want God to come by, but how sincere would I have been the rest of the week, you see? Sometimes God wants us to see how sincere that we are. But there's a waiting time sometimes for the Lord to come by. Psalms chapter 13, the psalmist said, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Psalms chapter 13, the psalmist was trying to get a hold of the Lord. Job was trying to get a hold of the Lord. He said, if I could just come before him, he said, I'd make my arguments to him. But it seems like there was something blocking Job. Job, it wasn't Job's fault, was it? If you read the book, sometimes there is a waiting period simply to see how serious we're going to be. Jeremiah 29 put it like this, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. When we put our whole heart in this thing, when we're willing and apt to sacrifice time to pray, not when it's easy, but when it's hard. When we're willing and apt to fast over that thing. How many of us have done that lately? You don't have to hold your hand up. I'm just asking you a question. How many of us is fasting lately over something that was important in our life and we wanted to see God move? That we were willing to give up some food to go pray. That we was willing to give up something that we really liked. I was telling somebody this morning, I said, I love to eat. And you say, well, that's an understatement. It probably is, but I love to eat. And God knows that. But see, you know something else? It takes food and that to sustain this mortal body. And when you're willing to give that thing up to get in touch with heaven, I do believe he kind of looks down a little more on us when we do that. And it catches his attention when he says, boy, I got one over here that's fasting. And he's fasting or she's fasting. And that because they want me to move right here. Yeah, have you ever, listen. I guess the most I've ever fasted, what was it, 3 days. And the doctor made me do that. And that wasn't no fun. I'll be honest with you. I was just praying, Lord, let this thing get over with where I can eat. That's what I was praying. But listen, when you make your own determination that right here is a need, right here is somewhere I need direction, right here is something that needs to move, right here is somebody that needs to get saved, they're running out of time, they're about to slip off. And when's the last time we ever fasted over somebody's lost? You say, why don't God just convict sinners and save sinners? He's got conviction power. Why don't God do more? How much more do you want him to do? I mean, he sent his son to Calvary to die so that we could get saved. Hey, listen, there's one thing that I've learned. God will not make anybody get saved. And we can pray and need to pray and need to seek him and cry and shed tears. There's another. And when's the last time we ever shed any tears in our prayer life? I'm trying not to be negative tonight. I'll be honest with you, but I'm asking some questions. When's the last time that we shed tears when we got down to pray? Over somebody that's lost. Over a need. You know, it's easy to shed tears when we've got a need in our life and boy, something's about to fall on us. When bad times come. And God's making us wait. Again, sometimes I think the Lord wants to see how serious, or he wants us to see how serious this thing is. Can I tell you that sometimes God waits not only for us. And let me tell you tonight, I don't know what you need to pray for, but it would do you good to get into a place to shed some tears. Do you good to get in a place. You know, he that goeth forth and beareth precious, what is it? He that goeth forth bearing precious seed and weepeth shall come again by bringing his sheaves with him. I asked the Lord one time, Sister Margie might be able to remember that lady in the nurse home. I can't remember. She was down D Hall on the right hand side. And I went in there and I talked to her about getting saved. And she's dark headed. And I would talk to her and she didn't want to have nothing to do with it. She really wouldn't talk about nothing. And she was a very quiet lady and maybe a little different turned and something like that. But I remember I said, Lord, I just talking to him one day. I said, Lord, would you give me some tears to shed over this woman? She was bothering me. I mean, she was slipping off. I mean, things was fixing to get bad. You could see her health was deteriorating, and she was fixing to go off into eternity. And I remember one day that I went in there, and God just moved on my heart and squeezed that thing. And while I stood in there and witnessed to her, I cried the whole time I was there. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some times that we need to shed some tears over the matter. Now, they tell me that lady got saved one day. One of them CNAs got to lead her to the Lord, and that's good. But how serious? How serious? When we're in a waiting period, how serious will we be to keep on praying? Take your Bible and go to John chapter 11 tonight. John chapter 11. Find a time when Lazarus had died. You know, the Lord might have something in mind when you begin to pray. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now let me say this. Jesus had saved her. And obviously Jesus had saved that family. Because we're going to find out that Lazarus was one whom the Lord loved. And Martha knew who he was and was serving him. And so obviously somewhere along that line, that whole family come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters. Verse 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Didn't say Lazarus. Didn't say your friend. Said, Lord, the one that you love is sick. You know what they were doing? They were pulling on his heartstrings right there. I believe that's what they were trying to do. Say, Lord, the one you love, he's sick. And if you'll come, you can heal him. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, I have read that thing over the years and years and years, and it never jumped off the page until I just read it for this message. Now, look what it said. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, which is Mary, and Lazarus. Now, look in verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Seemed like if the Lord really loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he'd have went to Bethany. But he loved them. You know, have you ever looked up to heaven and said, God, if you really loved me, you'd move right here. If I'm really yours, you'd move right here. If you're real, you'd move right here. And the Bible said that the Lord Jesus loved them. But there in that next verse, he said, when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, why did he do that? Verse 4 tells us it was for the glory of God. Verse 7, then after that he saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And sometimes I feel like his disciples right here. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. They just didn't catch on, did they? Sometimes I feel like spiritually I just don't catch on sometimes. And howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Do you realize what's going on right here? Martha and Mary is sent for the Lord. Our brother is sick. And the Lord tarried 2 days. He intentionally tarried 2 days. When Mary and Martha had to watch their brother die. When Mary and Martha had to go to the funeral home and make arrangements. And Mary and Martha had to put their brother in a tomb. But yet the Lord said, this will be for the glory of God. And he said, for your sakes, talking to his disciples, I'm glad I wasn't there. Now, think about that for just a second. The Lord's ways are not our ways. He has different ways of looking at things that me and you don't even see, friend. And you know, sometimes it's just got to get worse before he'll let it get better. So you know what he done? Y'all know the story. But we got some wonderful scripture out of this simply because Lazarus died. He comes down there and begins to talk to Martha. And Martha goes out to see him. And she says in verse 21, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, if you would have just come when I called you, all this would have never happened. You ever been there? I mean, it got bad. It's got bad. And you've looked up to heaven and said, Lord, when are you going to answer? Lord, if you would have just come by, none of this would have happened. But you know what she said in verse 22? But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Boy, you're talking about a woman that had faith right here. She said, there's one thing I know, and I know it right now, that if you ask God the Father, He'll give it to you. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha knew something. Some folk don't even believe today that there's going to be a resurrection. But Jesus said unto her, now here's the scripture I was talking about. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Man. We beat up on Martha a lot of times over there because she was cumbered about with much serving. But Martha knew some things. Martha knew who the Lord was. And so the Lord gets over there to the tomb. He asks, where have you laid him there in verse 34? And he comes to the cave. And in verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. So for 4 days they have had to mourn his death, and prior to that his sickness. And the Lord has just now come. And so we know that he gets out. The Lord Jesus Christ prays. Jesus said unto her, He said, I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. He asked her a question. He said, did I not ask you if you'd believe that you'll see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Sometimes the Lord holds off on our asking so that he can do something even bigger sometimes. Well, it'd have been pretty big if he had healed Lazarus. Yeah, but wasn't it a lot bigger that he went over there and raised him from the dead? When it seems like he ain't going to answer, just keep praying. When it seems like he don't hear, just keep praying. Don't give up. You don't know why he's making you wait. You don't know. I told my wife one time about something. I said, I was sitting in my study one day and the Holy Spirit just kind of spoke to my heart and said, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I told my wife that, and you know what? She never batted an eye. She never said the Holy Spirit talked to you like that. Never said that. Never talked about it getting worse. She said, well, there's one thing about it. At least we know it's going to get better. That caught me off guard. I was looking at the bad part instead of the good part. Take it for what it's worth right there. Sometimes the Lord makes us wait so that he can get glory out of our life. See, when your prayer life seems to go nowhere, sometimes it's not because of sin or a lack of faith or you're asking out the will of God or any of those things. Sometimes he simply is making us wait to get glory out of us. And then can I tell you, sometimes you just don't know. I don't know how to pray. When you're brokenhearted and grieving and you don't know how to pray, I'm glad the Holy Spirit's there to do it. He said in Romans chapter 8, he said, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hey, even if we don't know how to pray. Now notice how the Spirit prays. Notice what I said. He prays according to the will of God. We may not get it right every time, but I guarantee the Spirit does. And there's going to come some times in your life where you just ain't going to know how to pray. You ain't going to know what to pray. It's just going to be one of them times. But they somebody, you know, he give us the Spirit to be the earnest. He give us the Spirit and that to seal us and keep us unto the day of redemption. But he gave us the Spirit and that to intercede for us when we don't even know how to pray. Again, if I was going to be super spiritual, I'd tell you, never been there. But I would dare say that in my life, I've been there more than what I'd care to think sometimes. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever just got down and just cried and said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything, Lord. I don't know what to ask. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say. Just get down and cry. I've done that a time or two over the years. Just got around the altar somewhere and just cried. And you know what? I believe the Spirit interceded in times like that. If you've never been there, thank the Lord you ain't never been there, but you'll get there one day if you live for Him. Sometimes we just don't know how. And you know, it's in them times the Lord don't beat up on us. Bible said, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows us. Has your children ever come to you and just kind of stuttered around and stammered around and kind of looked at you and they just didn't really know what to say? They needed to ask you for something, but they really didn't want to ask you, or they didn't know how to ask you. They had a need, but they just didn't really know how to do it. It's no different with us. Except, see, the difference about it is, see, that's the great thing about being a parent. You picked up on that. You knew what they needed. You knew what, you know, the Lord's the same way. He knows what we need. The Holy Spirit's interceding for us. He knows. The Holy Spirit does tonight. Sometimes you don't know how to pray. Can I tell you tonight, sometimes you need to ask others to pray. I say this a lot on Wednesday nights, that there are folk counting on us to pray. And the reason I like to make a big deal about that is because if I needed somebody to pray for me, I would like to know that they were. You understand what I'm saying? I would like to think that if I had asked somebody to pray for me, they were doing it. And there may come a time in your life where you need to ask somebody, say, listen, here, you don't have to tell them everything. You don't have to tell them anything except just say, pray for me. What was it that Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Four words. He said, brethren, pray for us. That's all he said. Brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. You know, when you come to this altar and I meet you down here to pray, if I meet you down here to pray, you don't have to tell me what you're praying for. It ain't none of my business. But I'll pray for you and I'll pray with you. If you want to tell somebody what you need to pray for, tell them. Let them pray for them. There's going to come a day, friend, that you just ain't going to know what to do. You ain't going to know how to pray and what to pray. But the Holy Spirit's inside of you if you're saved tonight. And He's going to intercede for you. And He's going to guide you and direct you. So when our prayer life is going nowhere, there are some things we need to do. One, we need to look. Make sure there ain't anything between us and the Lord. Make sure there ain't some sin in there. Make sure that there ain't some secret sin or a sin of ignorance. Make sure that there ain't something in there, a sin of commission or omission that's there, that's cutting us off. Make sure that we are praying in faith and asking according to His will. But you know, once you get through all that and you clear those hurdles, if you let me say that, and you say, I'm just still praying, there's nothing wrong between me and God, I've still got a good relationship with Him, and I believe that He's hearing me, but He just ain't answering me. Then I know only one thing to tell you, and that's to keep on praying. Don't quit praying. Don't give up praying. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search with your whole heart, with all your heart. If we'll just keep praying and pray. You know something in Psalms chapter 22? And if you read through the whole book of Psalms, you learn that David, when I was younger, I thought living for the Lord was a piece of cake. I thought it was simple. Man, you just serve God. He'll be there the whole time. Everything will go good. Everything will work out. Everything's there. I mean, you look at folks' lives and man, all you see is the good part. It's kind of like folk on social media. You know, you only see the good part. The preacher, you know, I've got preacher friends that's on social media, and I'm not, but I know that they put on there, you know, how many they had saved, how many they baptized and all this, but they never tell you about the times that, well, nobody come to altar day and I feel like I preached a big flop. You don't hear that on social media nowhere. See, we only see the good parts a lot of times in people's lives. I'm not telling you that you need to go around singing that old song, Woe Is Me. That's not what I'm saying. But you know, sometimes folk do need to know that you are struggling, so at least they can pray for you. So they can pray for you. Don't, when it feels like your prayer life is going nowhere and everything else is good between you and the Lord, just keep praying. Don't give up praying. You know, the Lord finally did come to Mary and Martha. He seemed like He was 4 days late, but He came to Mary and Martha, didn't He? He may seem like He's late, but He ain't late. I don't know what your need is tonight. Let's bow our heads. If you need to come and pray. Jacob, get us a little music here, son, if you would. Listen, tonight, I don't know what you need to pray for. I don't know what your need is tonight. But if in your prayer life it seems like God ain't listening, don't quit praying. You know why I keep praying? You know why I keep going back to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in the time of need? You know why I do that? Simply because He's answered me too many times. Simply because He has come by way too many times and seen me through. I don't know what your need is tonight, but if you want to come gather up around this altar and take it to the Lord, I encourage you to do that tonight. I don't know what your need is. Maybe somebody that's lost or that you need to come and pray for. There may be just a need in your family, in your life, on the job, whatever it may be. If you need to come and pray, I encourage you to come tonight. Would you like to come and do what that old song's playing tonight? I must tell Jesus.